Getting this thing started and getting right into it, would you be able to give us a little bit about who you are and what your True Spiritual Awakening channel is all about?
Sure. So about 7 years ago, actually about 8 years ago now, I had a spontaneous spiritual awakening one morning while I went to the gym. I wasn't what I would call your typical spiritual seeker who was, seeking enlightenment. I actually didn't even know what enlightenment was, but I had gone through probably 10 years prior to the awakening, I had gone through a period of being really interested in paranormal activity. I was really interested in the out-of-body ex states and had had a number of these spontaneous OBEs. Played around with them for a while, a lot of fun. About a year and a half later, they started to die down. Went on about my business, had a had some children, was working in a business, my own business, and a number of years later, I kept meditating. I was always meditating, loved meditating. It did a lot for me. I enjoyed it, but never seeking anything. There was no seeking energy in me. And one morning, I got up to go to the gym. 7 a.m., walked through the doors, went upstairs, and just for some reason, I just felt this strange sense of being watched or something, a presence around me. And it was like I kind of just stopped and I kind of noticed the sun coming in through the windows, and I really started to hear music, like really, really hear it. And for a moment, I just stopped and I said to myself, oh, I said, the sun that I'm seeing coming through the window isn't external. I said, I'm seeing that inside of my consciousness. It's in me. And I said, the sounds that I'm hearing, they're not coming from an external source. They're arising within what I am. And in an instant, I felt like two pieces of Velcro being pulled apart inside of my brain. And the only way I've been able to describe this was, it was like I had a lucid dream. If any of your listeners, they don't know what a lucid dream is, it's when you're in a dream state and something in the dream makes you realize that you're dreaming, and there's a kind of an aha moment, and oh, you realize that you're actually sleeping, but the part of you is awake in a dream. So this was similar to that, but it was something greater than me. Woke up in that moment in the gym, perceived itself as the universe, all that is, higher consciousness, that had fallen asleep and dreamt itself into the character of Garrett. And all of this information started coming in. It was like supreme knowledge flooding in. And it was kind of like, oh, and I kind of knew what I was. I knew I was outside of my reality. And I had been dreaming this character all along. And then everything I looked at, I started to look out through my eyes. I started to see that I was the walls, I was the machines, I was the sounds. That was all me as well. And then I started to notice the other people in the gym, and the information started to come in. It was that, okay, I am the supreme consciousness that has just become lucid in this one, but I'm also the consciousness that's in every single person that's here. But I'm still asleep in them, but just woke up and realized myself through this one. So this, I don't know, this lasted about 10, 15 minutes. This sort of, it was, at the time, I didn't know what it was, but I now know it was like God realization. God realized itself through my form. It became a little overpowering. It was, I started to, tears started to come down my face. I sat down and eventually I just went, you know what, I have to leave. So I picked up my bag, walked out of the gym and got into my car and started driving to work. And I had the most beautiful experience just sitting in bliss and oneness, and got into work, and eventually this aperture started to kind of close down. Still had a really lovely day. Kind of, I didn't know what had happened. The next day I woke up, that realization was gone, but I was now in a state of what felt like permanent freedom. My ego wasn't bothering me. There was no sense of like contractedness anymore. I just felt free. I felt like I had taken off an uncomfortable shoe. And for the next couple of days, I felt like I had won the lottery. I felt really free. I felt at one peace. Fear was gone, totally gone from my system. I just didn't have psychological fear anymore. And then I started to try and find out what happened. So I started Googling, reading books. The first person I came across was a teacher called Adi Ashanti. And I went and I ordered his book. It was The End of Your World. And started, it was actually his audio book. And I started listening to what he was describing, these different awakening states. And I was like, that's what's happened to me. It was like I was now in a state of sort of self-realization slash God consciousness, where I would, go for walks every day, and it was, something would open up and I could see myself in the trees. And I went, I, this sort of then spurred me on to become a spiritual seeker, because I had had a taste of this God realization, this top peak experience. And I was like, right, I want to get that back. And I sort of, by reading Adi Ashanti, I could see that there was different stages to awakening. And so I went on my journey. Went through a whole series of awakenings. I had a full Kundalini awakening. I went into unity consciousness, Brahman consciousness, and I started to notice that I became transmissive. So people around me, I would meditate with them, and they would be able to feel something. Something started coming true. Energy started coming true. I was able to give people a sort of a taste of what I was experiencing. And it kind of just, that's how the whole true spiritual awakening thing started. It started on Zoom, meeting one or two friends, meditating with them. And then over the next year or so, it just started growing. More people, there people would invite their friends, and then there was, 10, 20 people. And it's after grown to today to, like, I don't know, there could be 150 people turn up. So the real work that I do is giving people a direct experience of what spirituality is. It's not talking about it. It's not giving people ideas or concept or explaining it to them. It's people usually come sit with me. If their nervous system is open enough, they can take in these energies, their consciousness. It's almost like if you take a two logs, one that's burning brightly and one that's smoldering, and if you bring the two of them together, the one that's smoldering just catches on much faster. So that's pretty much the work that I do now. I've been doing that for the last 5 years.
Awesome. Very well spoken. Wow. That's an interesting metaphor that you use, because somebody that I spoke to a few podcasts ago also used that. It's a lot easier to light a fire if you already have one lit,
Yeah,
So,
of
yeah,
course.
I really like that. The transmissiveness of the whole path. Would you be able to give us a little bit about what your sessions are? As in, like, can we get maybe a little taste of what you do with people, as in an example here with me? Or does it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we could do that. So a lot of the time I work with groups. So I have two Zoom meditations that I do every week, Tuesday and Friday at 9 p.m. UK time. And it's free. Don't ask any, it's just something I do. That's my service. That's me giving back. And I've been doing that for 5 years. Never miss a day. And people come and they meditate, and I sit there. And it just comes in, whatever wants to come in, the energy. There's a number of different energies that come in. And it's almost like there could be 100 people, 150 people. And it's like each person might be having a completely different experience. They're all drawing whatever they need in that moment from the source transmission. After about a year of me kind of doing these groups, people started asking, oh, can I work with you one-on-one? I eventually started doing private sessions. And I kind of work a little bit different in the private sessions. So I kind of help people go through the awakening stages. So I have a number of different transmissions I work with. I help people. Usually the people who come to me are serious spiritual seekers. They've maybe had an awakening already and they want to go beyond into the later stages, or they're just on the edge of what's known as self-realization. Generally, people who haven't got to that sort of spiritual maturity, they're just generally not interested in the whole transmission thing. You know, they might turn up in my Zoom group, meditate once or twice, and their nervous systems just aren't ready to kind of feel them energies. So this is the beauty about the work, is that people, they get a direct experience. They even when we do it today, this recording, if any of your viewers and listeners, they just close their eyes. The video is like an interface for the energy. So the transmission is always out there. It's always in the field. And the video gives the person a way of connecting with the energy. And it could be, you know, I have some videos that are like 5 and 6 years old on my YouTube, and I continuously see comments coming up saying, "Wow, great meditation." It's like, how's the energy there 5 years later? You know, it's mind-boggling.
Wow, that's a good way to look at it. Is it's not like me or you are doing anything specifically. It's the video that we are in that is serving as a remembrance, essentially, to this energy for everybody. And it goes beyond the form. It's like a symbol that goes beyond the symbol. And it's timeless in that way as well, which is quite peculiar to the content that we make. It's timeless.
And I often say to people, it's like a www.transmission.com. It's just a way for you to put that in and connect with the energy, because it's very difficult for us to connect with something that we don't have an interface with. You know, how do I connect to an energy, you know, in the ethers? Whereas if there's a video, it's like, oh, okay, I'm connected to this. There's a person on the other end. I get it. You know, they're sending energy through the screen to me. It makes it much more easy for us as humans to connect that way.
Magical. Now, how do you suppose we even get a glimpse into this wavelength? I know yours was spontaneous, but can we at least provide a the opportunity to be able to see this? Is there anything that we can do or maybe not do to be able to have this spiritual awakening in our life?
So it's everybody's birthright to have the awakening. And it's not the individual really who has the awakening. It is the larger consciousness system, God, the universe, all that is. It wants to awaken through each individual. That's what it is, right? It's like it's dreamt itself into you, into the viewer, into, you know, into the listener, and we forget what we are. So it's spiritual awakening is it's a remembering, it's a waking up, it's the larger consciousness system having the experience of realizing itself through the individual, you know, and just realizing what it was. It's a remembering. So it's available to everybody. Is it going to happen to everybody? Probably not. You know, it's some people just not ready for it. They're just not interested. There's a sort of you know, if you buy into the whole reincarnation thing, it's like we have to go through multiple lives, go through, you know, lots of traumas, trials, tribulations to get to a point where we give up on the outside world. And usually what happens is people go into what's known as dejection. They go through lifetime after lifetime of trying to seek happiness on the outside world, you know, the job. And this was something that happened to me early on as a teenager. I kept going, okay, if I get the girlfriend, I'm going to be happy. If I get the new car, the new job, I was always setting myself these goals and I would achieve them. And then I would feel really sort of like let down after about 2 weeks when that shiny, nice feeling of happiness started to fade, and I was kind of left back where I was. And that kind of brought me into my 20s, and I was like, what's the point in all of this? It's like, where is the lasting happiness? Where is the joy? It keeps leaving me. So what happens is the soul goes into dejection. It realizes that it's never going to find any satisfaction in the outside world. And eventually it kind of sends out an SOS signal, you know, and then what happens is it comes in the form of grace. It could be the book falls off the shelf, the spiritual book, the chance meeting, the podcast comes up in your news feed, this, you know, that conversation. And that's usually what starts us off. It's like something, a greater intelligence. And it uses, we're not living in an objective reality, right? Even our reality is consciousness. So when it comes to that time for us to awaken, consciousness will use anything it can, you know, songs on the radio, buses with messages that come up. It kind of speaks to us in that way.
Yeah, there's a sort of serendipitous nature to how it comes about.
Yes.
But I think it all comes from surrender, and you touched upon that, surrendering your pursuit toward worldly things. And it comes from exhaustion of pursuing the worldly things. And that exhaustion through surrender leads to the serendipity. And yeah, I think it just takes a little bit of time, and a little bit of time might be lifetimes. I don't know if that's
It
true or not,
might.
but it seems true, you know.
Yeah, it might. And it is surrender. It's like the self-will practice will only take you so far, right? You can get right up to the edge, and then you realize that you as the individual cannot do spiritual awakening. It's not something that we can read about, we can force, we can think about it until it happens. It's sort of like a grace that happens. It's like when we finally give up, it comes in.
Truly. Yeah, logic and rationale and the doing, kind of like the masculine essence, only can go
Yeah.
so far, you know? It's a sort of, I think, bringing in femininity, to be honest with you, an essence of femininity in one's life, especially as a man, especially in the Western world. You know, it's slowing down and realizing what you really do want. You, as in the higher you. What do you really want? Not the humanly you. What do you really want deep down within your soul? And that takes just a little bit of patience and a little bit of quiet time, you know, a little bit of stillness. And I think it'll just come in. Like you said, it's all of our birthright. This is natural. This is innate. So yeah,
I'm
does
glad
that
you touched
go
on
ahead.
that.
Sorry. Go
Sorry,
ahead.
Gary. I was glad you touched on that because that's exactly what we can do. There is something that we can do, and it's to quiet the mind, right? Just sit in meditation. And what happens is the higher mind, once we get the monkey mind quiet down, the higher mind can then filter in the intuition filters down into our system, and we can hear it. It might not be spoken in words that we're used to. It kind of comes as a knowing or intuition. And then we have to start listening, really, really listening.
And then there is a guidance, I find. There's guidance throughout all endeavors of my life because the action doesn't stop. The doing, per se, doesn't necessarily stop. You just figure out there is no doer. And then there is this other essence of doing that is led through intuitive guidance and intuitive whispers. And as you said, they're not exactly through regular language. It's hard to explain because it doesn't do any explaining. It's more of just like this resonance toward things. You know, it's this resonance toward things you should do, or I don't, that's a kind of not a good way to say it because there is no doer, as I said, but there is a resonance toward just how this expression of the human form plays out. And to me, it's either like a definite yes or a definite no of decisions or subject matter that I should partake in. Do you find that? Do you feel like there is just this guidance? The higher self, as the new age people will say,
Yeah.
that just leads you through all endeavors and all pursuits.
Yeah. So it's sort of like I do things without knowing why am I actually doing this? It's just sort of like just a guidance. It's like, oh, you know, today I'm going to do Wim Hof breathing. And I don't know why I'm being called to do it, and you know I'm doing it for a couple of weeks, and I have no clue why I'm doing it. And then you know COVID comes, and oh I'm boosting my immune system without you know even thinking about it. You know this kind of thing kind of works in my life where it's like I don't know why I'm doing it, but it just feels like the right thing to do. I don't know where it's coming from. But I'm just being moved in that direction, and it's just knowing, it's just kind of going, okay, yeah. I kind of stopped listening to this part, you know, the mind, long ago, and just dropping into my heart center all the time, and like what feels right, not what logically makes sense. It's like what actually feels right, and just got moving in the world from that heart center.
Yeah, it's like a higher intelligence or a higher wisdom that is within all of
Totally.
us, right?
Yeah,
And it does
totally.
truly go beyond words. There is just like this other part, this other almost like a radar system. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's some other like signal that you get from things of your life and pursuits of your life that you should or shouldn't do. So yeah, it's quite interesting in that
Yeah.
way. And it also is serendipitous. The serendipity doesn't stop. You know, the coincidences don't stop at the awakening. It's continual. As you said, it's like you started doing the Wim Hof breathing, then all of a sudden, a global pandemic. It wasn't an accident. It's almost timeless in that way.
And there's been other things as well where it's like, oh, every rational part of me would say that this is a terrible idea. If I asked any person, any one of my friends, family, they would say, you are crazy. But I know it's like a deep trusting that that's the path that I have to follow, even though it logically it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem like anything is going to work on that path. And then watching as it's like, oh, I was right. You know, this is just going where it's meant to go.
Trust, maybe faith. You ever use the word faith?
Totally.
It's true faith, not blind faith in some kind of external savior. It's like true faith in oneself and true sovereignty in that faith.
Just knowing. You can't get it wrong. You can't, when you act from that place, Gary, you cannot get anything. You cannot put a foot wrong in this world because everything is a lesson. Even if you do get it wrong, you come out the winner because you're willing to learn from it.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. Even getting it wrong is getting it
Exactly.
right.
And when you see life in that way, then you're fearless.
Because it's all for you. Probably all heard that before. It's
Exactly.
kind of a cliche, but
Yeah.
truly,
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. Oh, powerful stuff, man. Yeah, I feel it. I feel it. And that's the thing. As we said before, we're just like symbols. We're just like testaments to this whole wavelength. For this to be believable, you have to believe this within yourself, bring it into oneself. And the video, no video or book is going to do this for you. Truly, only you have to feel this wavelength, this essence of living, of being within yourself and within your own life in a subjective way, as you said before, a subjective and direct experience that isn't really an experience. It may start with an experience, but it goes beyond the simple experience. And I do believe that's the only way to find joy amidst the turmoil of our life, amidst the suffering. Would you say the same? Like, this is the only path to happiness, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, I mean, once you get a taste of what this is, and you start to feel like it's all really about feeling. It's like, for instance, you know, about 10 minutes before we logged on, it's like the heavens open up for me with the energy. It's like it is like a, and this kind of came to me as well recently. It's like these energies are being sown into the conversation. So it's like it's getting ready. It's giving people a taste of them energies. And when you start to really get a taste of these energies, it's like, oh, okay, I see what this is. It's just kind of giving you a taste of what your true nature is. And when you find the essence of what you are, like when you really are that, there's nothing. There is nothing else. There's no external stimulus that's going to give you excitement. You know, I used to live that way. I used to like enjoy different, kayaking and camping and, and when you have this realization of what you really are, it's like all them peaks and valleys in your life, they start to become really, really smoothed out. There's no more ups and downs. You're just living from a really joyous place. There's nothing to look forward to. It's like, this is it. This is as good as it gets in this moment.
Now that's may seem bleak. There's nothing to look forward to, but it's actually quite the contrary because it's here and now. It's like there's you know what I'm trying to say here? To one that doesn't know any better, they're like, what do you
The
mean there's
rational
nothing to look
mind.
forward to? Yeah, exactly. The rational mind and the ego wants to try and be like, what do you I like the roller coaster rides. I like the kayak and yeah, I mean that stuff doesn't go away. It just if anything, it actually makes it more enjoyable. But it's the life that is also not involved with the amusement parks and the highs or the lows. Like you said, is there is this like equanimity, there is this joyous neutrality that one finds even in the most mundane situations. And that's what it's all about, I believe. It's like I enjoy just doing nothing,
Yeah, me
finding
too.
joy in
Me too.
absolutely nothing. Yeah. And it doesn't negate any of the experiences too. I think that's what's also important to state. It doesn't negate, nothing disappears per se of our life. It's just like another thing. And there's no disappointment that comes from the thing passes away per se. And there's no disappointment when you're in the lows either. It's just complete neutrality, you know? It's not nihilism.
Yeah.
It's completely different from that.
The disappointment, it disappears. That's one of the big th
Yeah.
disappointment disappears. You can still go kayaking and have an amazing day, but if something happens on that day and you can't go kayaking, that's okay too, you know.
Exactly.
Sitting at home on the sofa is also fine.
Yeah. No expectations. So
Yeah.
no conditional living,
Yeah,
non-conditional
it is
living,
equanimity. Yeah.
equanimity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And would you say from this wavelength also is an unconditional way of loving others, you know?
Not
From this,
necessarily.
okay. I was gonna say from this vantage point, do you like treat people differently in that or in your life? But go on.
Okay, so going through the awakening, there's certain stages of the awakening where you connect with awareness. And awareness is not necessarily a loving place, right? You might be free from the ego, but it's not necessarily love. The love comes in later stages. And I mean, when you awaken into the heart, you can't not be love, right? It's like you see everything as yourself. Does that mean that you can accept the bad behavior of people and just, that's not what it is either. It's just sort of it's a love that comes up for everything as it is, the good and the bad. Yeah, I think that's.
Well, you know what it is we have the word love and it's so loaded and we think we know what it is, but it's not that. It's completely beyond love. Like true unconditional love is it's God, essentially. And it's not something that the Disney movies portray to us. It's unconditional. And I don't know, there's so many different words that you could use for it, but it's not like this passiveness. It's not like this submissiveness. I'm gonna go love and hug everybody on the street type of thing.
Well, human love is conditional. You know, it's love me and I love you back, right? It's like there's I need something from you. If you don't give that to me, I'm going to withdraw my love. Whereas this is just, it's just kind of an unconditional love. It's also like when you awaken, your morality kind of falls away as well. It's like your human condition of how you should act in the world is totally different. All them constructs in your mind are deconstructed. So yeah, it's you're operating from a different frequency. after awakening. It's totally different. You don't need rules and regulations. You don't need, these rules that have been handed down to you from society. You just love just comes up out of the heart. You love for no reason. You expect nothing back.
Truly. Yeah. Now you said that's more so at the later stages of awakening, or maybe the last stage, if we want to put it into stages, some kind of sequential manner. Yeah. Do you believe that's where all the roads lead? Some people may have different practices and modalities, but do you think at the end of the day, it leads us becoming an expression of unconditional love in our own Dharma?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, to me it's like, oh, sorry, I was just gonna
Good. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
say sorry. Yeah, to me it's like awakening without love, it's sort of pointless. It's like you're almost there. It's like keep going, keep going, you're almost at the what this thing is all about. And to me it seems like, I don't know, I'm not saying I'm perfect and I'm
Yeah.
not an enlightened being, but it seems like it's all about love at the end of the day, where this all leads to.
Yeah, you can awaken through your perceptions into non-duality or emptiness and be totally void of love. And I remember early on having about 2 weeks of being in that sort of void state, just emptiness, looking out through my eyes. And it wasn't nice. It was like, okay, there was, the ego wasn't bothering me anymore. I wasn't. I did the identification with the ego had snapped, but I just felt like a camera, just looking out through a lens at the world. It's in the later stages that the awareness moves into the heart and perceives from the heart, and the fullness comes online and the Shakti.
Yeah.
That's when it gets juicy, and
Juicy.
you know, it's all about love. It's love. It's both. It's awareness and love, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. But in terms of like a sequential manner of awakening, I do feel that there has to be this transcendence of the ego. You go high, you get really high, like you said, you get non-dual, but then it has to integrate with the humanly vessel. And then the only way that it can integrate is through by being a loving expression. I mean, it's literally represented in our chakras. Think of like the higher chakras, the higher intelligence up here, and you got the lower humanly chakras, animal chakras down here. What's in the middle? It's the heart. It all congeals in the heart center right here. So it's represented in our body, but also just in some an irrational manner, actually. You can just think about it. It only makes sense. Just love. There's no other way, I think you said. It's like you get to a point of just saying, oh, well, obviously. Obviously, you have to be a loving being in this humanly form. And then that's it. And then you just work from that premise. And whatever happens in one's life, it's like just love. Just love. And completely, I mean, it's a complete switch. I see it as a complete switch from the popular paradigm and how we are conditioned and how we are constructed from birth. But it's nothing new under the sun. This is our nature. This is truly our nature, is love. Somehow, some way, the mind may try to figure it out and be like, wait, what? What do you mean? I'm Gary. I got to do this. This is my job. Look at me. I got all this stuff. Nope. That's all just a story. This love that we're talking about now goes beyond all of those stories. And yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to that, man.
And we become transmissive. That love gets sent outwards to other, and it has a ripple effect, even if we don't know about it.
That's true. Yeah. It's so subtle in that way. It's powerful, but subtle. The way of love, the path of love.
There was a course done a number of years ago on around the TM movement, and they looked at the crime rates in neighborhoods where people had awakened, and the crime rates had come down just by them awakened people living in those neighborhoods.
Wow. I
Yeah.
believe it. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
totally.
that's the thing, is like you don't have to be on YouTube or write a book or be
Yeah.
evangelical in that way. All of us, in our own way, in our own awakening, are serving as the torch carriers, you could say, in this non-local, non-linear, energetic way that is affecting the morphosphere of the earth. maybe in our local community, but ultimately it's the earth. It's the earth's energy that we're affecting, and you don't have to do anything grandiose, really, in that way. I do believe that it may seem a little hippie and a little out there, but if they did scientific studies on it, seeing is believing. It's interesting.
And
I have to
I firmly believe that awakening is not an individual process. It's all. It's collective. It's when one of us gets it, we come back and help the rest, and we don't move on until all of us get it.
Yeah, I believe that too. It's the Bodhisattva. Yeah, I do believe that, man, because it's like if you truly understand what awakening means, it can't be just a solitary thing. You have to.
It's not exclusive.
Yeah, it's like if I am everybody, that means I, as in myself, my sense of separate self, Gary, can't be the only one to awaken.
Of
Like,
course.
everybody else that isn't really everybody else has to come along with me. That's just part of the package. But I think, as we said before, it's like you don't do it in an evangelical way. You don't have to have like a podcast like we're doing now. I think you save yourself to save the world, which may seem like a contradiction, but that's actually the path, is the 'cause it seems like paradoxical, because it's like, as you just said, it's not a solo thing, but it actually is in practice, right? It is kind of in your,
You go through it by yourself.
yeah, you go through it by yourself, but you just naturally bring other people along. It just is this resonance that just spreads like a virus of love. And you don't know who it's spreading to sometimes. As you said, the transmissiveness is also very subtle. Yeah. Do you think that is, I mean, I believe one of the most efficient ways and powerful ways to be able to have your own awakening, to be able to see and realize what we're talking about now, is to just spend time with people that are on this wavelength already. Would you say that is the most powerful practice to do?
Yeah, community. It definitely is. So yeah, a number of years ago, I started doing retreats. So I kind of travel around different countries, the US, Portugal, Ireland, and I have a beautiful community around me. Maybe I think I'm just back from San Francisco, where I did two retreats there, and we had like 70 people, amazing people, and the community, like it's just there's something in it, the resonance of people, who are all interested in awakening, coming together and sitting in those energies. And you can see it, all these friendships forming, and they go off and they stay friends, and we meet online, and it's very important, I think. Yeah, it really is.
Love brings love. The more love there is, it's
Yeah.
exponential.
Yeah, and it's like people who've never met each other before, on the first day, they're best friends. You can just see it. These little pockets, friendships opening up. It's just love. Yeah, absolutely.
Powerful stuff, man. Truly. And another point is you just have to, as we said before, you just kind of have to do it to feel the difference. Go spend some time with people that are in communities like this. Find a community like this, and you will just, it's like, oh, love just pulls you in, man. This loving essence, it just pulls
And
you
it's
in.
so easy in this day and age. We're all connected through the internet. We have Zoom. We can meet. We can meditate in groups. It today now is the time. It really is. Just like it's happening.
There's no excuses. That's what I like to say. If we are living in this time, actually, one could find an infinite amount of excuses and distractions. But on the other side of the coin, the double-edged sword of technology, you could also find an infinite amount of inspiration toward this, and other people that are also on this wavelength. So it's all on how we use the times that we were born into.
And this is part of the reason why there is a global awakening happening, is because of the internet. We have connection to teachers in a matter of seconds. We can be logged on with teachers all around the world, transmissions, groups, satsangs. Whereas 20 years ago, we had to travel to India to find a teacher. you know, and mightn't be the right teacher. We might have to, you know, travel for weeks on end to find the right teacher. Now we can just click of a button, you know, YouTube videos pop up.
It's almost too easy. That's the thing, is it may get lost in the other content of the internet. You know, like this may just seem like another podcast, but it's really not. And you may just seem like another influencer per se, but really, no, it's not the same thing as somebody who has a podcast about sports or Game of Thrones or something like that. Like the whole scene that we're creating here, I do see it as a sangha. It's a global sangha that the internet is allowing us to establish. And yeah, truly glorious times. It's actually mind-blowing to me when we sit down and examine it. Because like you said before, you would actually literally have to go to India. There was really no other choice. And shout out to all the people that did go to India or came from India that gave us this stuff so that we could have it on the internet freely at this point. You know, kudos to them, seriously. And yeah, it led us to this point where there are no excuses anymore. If you really do want it per se, it's out there. It's all out there. There's plenty of examples and testaments. And I'm eternally grateful to have that and eternally grateful to have people on like you that provide that, provide the guidance and testament to this whole wavelength. Because without the internet, man, I would be also lost, you know? So shout out the internet and shout out people like you on the internet for paving the way in that regard.
And your podcast is like a spiritual telephone book, right? You're creating a directory for people to flick through, resonate with whoever, whatever teacher feels right for them. Yeah, so totally.
Well, you're in the book now. I like that though. Yeah, it's a spiritual telephone book. Well, that might be a good note to wrap this up at. This went by really quick, but I think we went full circle.
Would you like to do the demonstration?
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh yeah, actually completely totally forgot about that, but
It was just it coming. So I mean, what would you like to do? Like 10 minutes?
yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay. We'll sit for 10 minutes. So for the viewers or the listeners, all they do close their eyes, drop their awareness into the body, right? Kind of. It's like, don't use your mind to analyze what's happening. Bring your awareness into the body and what sensations are happening in the body. Kind of just feel, sense, don't judge, don't analyze. Try and relax deeper and deeper into the body. So we'll just do this in silence and I'll let you know when we finish. Okay. Okay, meditation is over. Thank you, Gary.
Well, thank you for that.
No problem.
It's as simple as that. Be
Yeah.
still and know.
Yep. Thank you for having me on today, Gary. The questions were great. Really enjoyed having the conversation.
For sure. Yeah. I thank you for coming on. Truly an
Yeah.
honor.
And if any of your viewers did the meditation and they felt it, I'm sure they can drop a comment down below and let you know.
Please, please do. And yeah, I'll link all your stuff in the description for people to check you out. And that's it, man. I appreciate you coming on here and sharing your time, effort, and wisdom.
Merry
Thank you.
Christmas. Thank
Merry
you so much.
Christmas to you. Merry
Appreciate it.
Christmas to
Thanks.
all. Peace and love, man. And peace and love to the listener.
Take
Goodbye,
care.
everybody.